And welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. My name is Brandon Peoples, and today we got a busy show lined up for you. Our first segment here, we're going to talk with the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine, and in studio with us today, Dr. Neela Boyer is in studio with us, clinical assistant professor there at KSU VetMed. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you here, and always fun to talk about different topics, and today quite a few different things here with pets as we look ahead to the springtime.
Yeah, that's kind of my, as I was getting ready for this topic, I thought let's just bypass winter here and talk about spring topics, so hopefully nobody's opposed to that. So I wanted to start first with February being National Pet Dental Health Month. So it's certainly pet dental care and oral care is important year-round, but it gives us an opportunity to spend a little time focusing on that in February, where we really talk a lot and focus on that in veterinary practices. So it's certainly important to make sure that we're starting that oral care. And we talk to puppy and kitten owners about even starting brushing those baby teeth before they fall out, and then making sure that we're talking to clients about doing that. So pet-friendly toothpaste, so you don't want them to use the ones that we use because they swallow that. So we want to use the pet-friendly kind. And then there's lots of different toothbrush options out there, and we're happy to work with clients to teach them how to do that, the proper way to do that. And it's certainly something that you can even work on pets as they get older. If they've never had that done, it takes a little more patience. And then we know that a lot of these guys, before we ever start brushing, are going to need a dental procedure. So they're going to have to be anesthetized and have a really good gingival cleaning above the gum line. We see a lot of periodontal disease where there's bone loss, and that can lead to pain and infection and to remove. So it's not just that dental tartar and calculus on their teeth, but it's actually especially those things above the gum line. And we have those dental x-rays that we want to be taking and making sure that the bone above those teeth looks good and healthy as well. So there's a lot we can offer those guys. So definitely a strong focus in February on making sure that we're doing a good job taking care of those mouths for whole body health as well.
Now, pets may not always be receptive if you start trying to brush your teeth. What are ways maybe you can alleviate that?
Yeah, well, first off, we want to make sure that the animal's not one that's going to bite, right? So if they are an animal that tries to bite their person, we may have to say, okay, well, they're going to need more formal dental cleaning that's going to require anesthesia. If they are amenable to it, you know, slowly starting with those animals that allow that to be done, oftentimes it's just starting with letting them take a taste of the toothpaste, and they come in a variety of different flavors that are pet-friendly. And so those can be something to just get started with, trying the flavor, and then starting slowly by introducing the brush. And the brush could be anything from one that you put on your finger. We call those the finger brushes. They have kind of some soft rubber nubs. Sometimes even for smaller pets, they make really tiny toothbrushes. The bigger dogs will even sometimes use like a child's soft bristle toothbrush, just helping, you know, whatever we need to do to get in there to kind of introduce that really slowly. So it does take a little bit of slow movements and gradual introductions, positive reinforcement, making sure that they are verbally praised for that. Sometimes some food rewards can help as well, or treats, making sure that they slowly accept us to be able to do that. So certainly it's something to work with your veterinary clinic on the steps to go through that, because each clinic probably has their own special tricks of how to begin that process.
Now, in humans, when we take care of our teeth, it's usually two to three times a day. Is that right? Same recommendation here?
Well, I tell people at least once a day. So that sticky plaque that accumulates on teeth, even after we do a professional cleaning, is going to start accumulating that sticky stuff, that kind of residue on your teeth if they don't get brushed. And that's going to include bacteria that then are going to start to seed on those teeth and then eventually up above the gum line, and can cause periodontal disease. So it is something that should be a daily. And there are some pets that it's even more than once a day. Again, it's just depending on your veterinarian's recommendation of their previous oral health.
Okay. Well, very important then. So that's in February, National Pet Dental Care Month.
Yeah.
And then one thing we have to look forward to when springtime rolls around is thunderstorms.
Yeah. And thunderstorms, of course, I guess they can happen any time of the year with thunder, snow, and things like that. But we especially see an uptick of that as we hit into probably April, May, June, and then into the summer and fall months. And one of the things that I think is really important is if you have, and this is probably especially the dog owners that we work with, where the dogs are afraid of anything from the thunder, the lightning. Some dogs, it's the barometric pressure changes, the wind, the rain, the sounds associated with the storm. And it's really important to have those conversations with your veterinary team earlier than just when it's happening. So oftentimes, even in the winter months, we begin sort of, what are we going to do for that animal once spring does come? There are lots of things that we can do for them. Some of those may involve medications. Some of those medications can take over a month to be fully effective. So it does take starting those well ahead of time. There are other medications that work quicker. And then there are some of these guys where it's just talking about how we house and care for them. Sometimes making sure that we're using an interior room of the home. Things that you would do if there was a tornado coming, you know, you'd move to an interior room of the home. A lot of times keeping those blinds drawn so that they're not seeing the flashes of lightning. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly what part of a storm the pet's actually afraid of. But those signs of anxiety that we might see, like pacing in the home, some of those animals will vocalize, they'll bark or whine, or they'll seek attention from their owners. Some of them will, I've had the worst case, which is the pet that actually tries to dive out the windows or does successfully get out of the home because they're so afraid of what's going on. They're just fleeing, just trying to get away from that scary thing. So some can be pretty mild. Others can be really, really difficult to manage. And so it's something to make sure you're bringing up to your clinic because there's lots of things that we can do for those animals rather than just have to watch them suffer through that.
And the key thing here is to start now versus later.
That's absolutely right. Not that we can't do things once we're in the moment, but I do think very strongly that it's good to have that physical exam with your veterinary clinic. Talk to your doctor about what can be offered for that animal so that you can be ready when that time comes. Yeah, definitely important component of springtime preparation.
And another thing that comes along with springtime, and this is important too, is flea and ticks.
Yeah, we can definitely see, fleas, I guess, depending on the environment for your animal, we see those year-round because fleas are happy to live indoors even in the winter months. A lot of times pets get their greatest exposure in the fall, and then they bring those in the home if they're not on a preventative program. Sometimes people stop those, and then they bring fleas in the house, and they're happy to live in our homes during the winter. Most type of ticks don't like to live in our homes or can't live in our homes over the winter because it's too dry for them. So they die. There's one type of tick that can live indoors even in the winter months. So ticks, depending on if you're traveling, out on the East Coast where they see more Lyme disease, they'll see months like even November, December where it gets to be 50, 55 degrees and the ticks will start questing, which means looking for someone to bite. The big thing about these guys is not only do they spread disease to our dogs and cats, but they also are the animal is a source of bringing fleas and ticks into their humans. And humans can also get really serious diseases from these things as well. So it is important to make sure that we're using products to keep our pets healthy and to keep them free of disease because we do have some very serious to life-threatening tick-borne illnesses here in Kansas. Cats can get one that can be very difficult, if not impossible, to treat. So making sure that if they're going outside, that they're on a tick control program. But especially even our indoor animals, we can bring in fleas to them. We can bring in ticks to them if we're hiking, camping, things like that. So the last few years have brought us especially a plethora of things onto the market where we can really do an excellent job of controlling those problems for our pets. So again, talk with your doctor about what would be the best product for your animal.
Okay. And ticks are so hard to get rid of.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, they're gross, right? Nobody likes them, but it's not just that they're gross and that they bite and they're uncomfortable, but the disease spreading potential is huge with these things. So really important. It's not just the skin itch and irritation. It's also systemic illness that they can bring to the pet as well.
In terms of other things we can do here, looking forward to the spring with old leaves and stuff around the house.
Yeah, for sure. So looking at your environment, a lot of us sometimes that early, the fall and the winter here, it got a little cold a little quick, I think. I've been here for a few years, but this year seemed like we really got cold a little bit earlier. So if you didn't get that yard work taken care of in the fall, make sure you're getting out there early in the spring. So getting rid of a lot of that leaf clutter around the property, tall grasses, places where ticks would like to hide, that's really important. So keeping that yard in good shape lessens the risk of bringing those sorts of things in on our pets as well.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Neela Boyer from KSU Vet Med. She's a clinical assistant professor here. Looking ahead to spring because we don't want to think about the snow here.
That's right. We're just ignoring it.
That's right. Talk a little bit about heartworm testing and why that's important.
Well, heartworm preventatives should be used year-round. And we do recommend both dogs and cats should be on a heartworm preventative program. And it's not just a disease that we see in outdoor animals because this is spread by mosquitoes. And even the most well-sealed homes are going to get mosquitoes in them. So it is something that with dogs, if they get heartworm disease, we do have a treatment for them. We don't in cats. We don't have an effective way to eliminate heartworm disease if they acquire it. So prevention is definitely the better way to go about this. And we have excellent preventative programs for our pets to have them not get this disease from mosquitoes. And those should be used year-round. If it's something that you have not used year-round, get that heartworm test done. Make sure they're negative for the dogs and then get them started on that heartworm preventative program so that they're on that when we see a higher uptick in temperatures where mosquitoes become a bigger concern. The reason for year-round, though, is sometimes, I mean, even looking at last week, we had days where it was, 50, 55 degrees. And those are temperatures where I saw a big fly in my house last week after the warm temperature. So the mosquitoes can even become a problem, even depending on how warm it gets certain months of the winter. And they can transmit those things if the weather stays warm enough for a period of time. So the other component of our preventatives, many of them include intestinal parasite control. And these intestinal parasites, some of these humans can get as well and can be dangerous if not deadly. So it is important to make sure, again, to talk with your veterinarian about the appropriate product depending on your pet's risks so that we keep them free of these diseases. Because the intestinal parasites, many of them don't mind the cold temperatures. They are very happy to be transmitted outdoors from the soil, so from stool from those animals especially. So especially if these guys are going to dog parks, boarding kennels, daycares, they're at a constant source of getting exposed to these sorts of things from the soil.
Okay. Now, the temperature fluctuates here in Kansas a lot. Like you said, we had warm weather last week, and now we're going to have cold weather this weekend. But heat exposure is a very real thing, especially in the early spring.
It sure is. And oftentimes, so one of the things about not only humans, but pets too, is it takes a period of several weeks, if not over a month, to acclimate to the warmer temperatures. So when the weather starts getting warmer, and it doesn't even feel that warm outside to us, but when we start getting into those 70 and low 80s, we actually see heat stroke during that time of the year in the early spring because our dogs are not used to that temperature yet. And so they're not able to cool themselves as well. As they were by last fall. So it does take an acclimation period. And especially if you've got those dogs that are dark in color, they have the brachycephalic or flat faces, they might have a pre-existing problem with breathing or getting oxygen. Those are the ones we especially worry about. But sometimes even those really, really busy, I think about like the Labradors, the Border Collies come to mind that are out there, they just want to go, play Frisbee, run, catch, and they just, it's hard to even get them to stop sometimes. Those are oftentimes the dogs that we see in the early spring coming in with heat exposure or heat stroke, which can be life-threatening. So make sure, again, that you talk with your doctor about steps to introduce the warmer temperatures to your animal, get them slowly acclimated to that before we just start doing a lot of those outdoor activities when the weather gets warm.
Wow. I would have never guessed that. You'd have to monitor that so closely here in the springtime. Okay. Well, all great tips. If people want to learn more, how can they get a hold of you guys out there?
Yeah. So I'm in the general medicine or pet health section at Kansas State University at the College of Veterinary Medicine. So, we work every day to help people to move forward, to have happy lives with their pets and to enrich that human animal bond. So we're here to help. Let us know. We're happy to be there as a support system for them.
Okay. Dr. Neela Boyer, KSU Vet Med, our guest here on In Focus. Thanks so much. Great tips.
Wonderful. Thank you.
We'll continue In Focus after this on News Radio KMAN.